This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria Anzaretska, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just, it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Happy New Year, everybody. The Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on this Friday program. Doug Duda, Jim Langan, the first show of 2015. How's it going, Jimmy? We made it.
Yeah, we did. Let's try to have a good show to start the year off. You want to, Doug? Let's get after it a little bit.
You think?
Yeah, let's see what we can do.
Well, like the Big Ten did?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Like the, I think the Big Ten has kind of shown the Southeastern Conference that there's not that much of a difference. In fact, there may be no difference at all.
Well, here and again, there's all kinds of ways, and it's bowl games, and when you're losing them, you say, come on, quit putting so much emphasis on it. And then when it goes the other way, let's see what the SEC says about it. Come on, don't put so much emphasis on it. But it's different now that we've got this national playoff. And you can look at the games yesterday, and Dirk Chatlin of the Omaha World-Herald is going to join us. He'll talk about the Huskers and, of course, what the Big Ten's doing. We'll also talk with the voice of Nebraska women's basketball, Matt Coatney. They will be prime, not prime time evening-wise, but prime time national coverage. They are the Big Ten national CBS game. There aren't many of those advantages or opportunities every year, but Nebraska will be on CBS television, not CBS Sports, the big channel, CBS, and that will be coming up tomorrow against Maryland, a top 15 matchup with the Huskers. I don't want to say they let one get away, but when you're up 17 in the second half and 14 with 8 minutes to go, you let one get away, even if you only had seven players suited. We'll see where the Nebraska team is depth-wise, health-wise, injury-wise, and Matt will join us to talk about where they are. They've got two losses, combined 5 points, so we'll talk about that. But, Jimmy, I tried to say, and again, I bring this up. If we talk about it and we're right, we talk about it. If we're wrong, we talk about it less. But the SEC, we said most of this season, all these guys rated in the top 15, all these teams, they didn't have a superstar this year. There was a game or two where all of a sudden something blew up and Alabama blew out one of the Mississippi schools and bring in some other things in there. This happened, that happened. A&M starts off with the big bang against South Carolina on opening night. But it's not that they're bad. It's just that there's no power this year. And Alabama's a good football team, but let's face it. Yesterday's story was turnovers. I thought Ohio State was going to lose the game because of the turnovers. And Oregon is not 39 points better than Florida State. I'll take the other side of this argument all day long. I'd like to see Florida State play Oregon again. I'm not saying that Oregon wouldn't win, but it was 18-13 at half, and Florida State got the ball to start the second half. Okay? I'll take those chances every single week. They turned it over 5 times in the second half. Yeah, Oregon's okay. I'll tell you what, Jimmy, it's 7.5 points are about 70 to 73.5 over-under from Vegas on this championship game. Ohio State. Now, as far as the over-unders, I think unders. But because you don't have 3 weeks or 3.5 weeks to prepare, you got 10 days.
You know, the only thing I'll say about this is there is a for some reason, I talk about gambling a lot on this show. And I'm gonna,
investing.
Investing, thank you. And one of the best investments you can have right now, and Doug, this is a fact, is you can buy 6 points. So you can add on 6 points if you want to a game. And when you get into college football, very seldom is the spread that close. So what you want to do on the overs, if you get an over that's 63, just buy 6 points and make it 69. Because if when they start going over, they go way over. I mean, you know, there is no – you can get 100 points in these games. and Nebraska and USC, look at the points scored in that game. Look at the points scored yesterday in that game. And one thing about Oregon, and you know this as well as I do, is the games change when you go for two, the very first touchdown, all the time, and usually make it. I mean, they usually always are up 8-something. It's always 8-3 or 8-7 or 8-0. And, college football, it is really hard to defend people and stop them. And when things start to snowball, they can snowball in a hurry. There's a lot of points scored by the same team, just, 28 unanswered, 34 unanswered. Look at all the bowl games where somebody scored 34 to 35 unanswered points. I mean, this happened quite often. This wasn't a rarity. The overs in college football are a big-time play. And because defenses cannot stop this no-huddle offense because they're getting 100 plays instead of the old-fashioned 60 plays. It's just like a basketball game. If you went down there and you had a five-second shot clock, there's going to be a lot of points scored.
Well, it was weird, and they commented on it yesterday, of Oregon just kind of standing around. They're usually snapping that ball about 5 to 10 seconds after the ball spotted, and they were doing everything they could not to get into the 60s against Florida State the way it turned out last night. And yeah, Florida State was gassed. Of course they're gassed. Their defense, they said they quit. Well, I can understand that, and maybe a little bit. If they had totally quit, they would have never tackled anybody. But that defense was on the field the entire second half. Can you blame them? Can you blame them? Oregon's got fresh guys that they're running in, the second team, the third team, the fourth team. Guys, hey, they want to do something special. It's the Rose Bowl. They want to do something special. So let's don't blow this whole thing out of proportion. And you look at these national championship games, and folks, if you want to join us, you can call the Kearney Chicken Coop fan line, 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. You can always tweet us at ESPN, 1460, 1550, and the Dent Popper inbox for all your emails, Doug and Daddy. At ESPNSuperstation.com. But before the BCS, you didn't always have one versus two. But even in this BCS era, a majority of the time, it's not that close, and the underdog wins the football game. Not always. I mean, last year, it was close. We had a great game between Florida State and Auburn, which wasn't close early. But Alabama crushes Notre Dame. Alabama shuts out LSU, and Alabama was the number two team both of those years. Auburn-Oregon was a very good game. Alabama thumped Texas when Colt McCoy got hurt. Florida knocked off Oklahoma. They were the two. LSU beat Ohio State. They were the two. Florida crushed Ohio State. They were the two. The Texas-USC game, the greatest BCS national championship game that we've had. It goes on and on and on.
Well, Nebraska got beat by Miami of Florida real bad in the national championship game. And if you're really honest about it, even before when Nebraska beat Florida, those were the best two teams in the nation. When they played in Nebraska, at one time it was up 62-17. I mean, so some of those games do go. I will say this, Doug, I'm gonna point this out. And I know there's 10 days between games, but Oregon and Florida State was really not a physical football game. Alabama and Ohio State beat the hell out of each other. I don't know if Alabama has any players left if they had to play the third place game.
Yeah.
You can imagine them playing for third? That was a real physical game. And try to imagine this. Try to imagine if you're on the scout squad at Ohio State. You're a scouter. You're red shirt, but you play on the scout team. And all of a sudden, that 6'6" quarterback is taken off and he gets by the linebackers and you're in the secondary. How bad do you want to try to bring him down? I mean, I'm not tackling the guy. That guy is a load. I mean, I think something we forget about in that game is Alabama was down by 6. It was 3rd-and-2, and the guy hits two guys that hit Alabama secondary, came up and blitzed and hit him in the backfield, and somehow he got the first down by about 5 inches. And the next play, they go 85 yards for a touchdown, or they're punting the football back to Alabama. That guy is a load to bring down, and I don't want to ever tackle him, ever, myself.
Yeah,
he is. And he almost got tackled for a couple safeties, and he just took guys right out of the end zone.
This comes from the H-Man. He says, the only thing yesterday proved is that the Bulls are dead. Attendance is non-existent, and the playoffs should have 8 teams. See, your point there, how physical this is, 8 teams, I think that would be very tough. It's very tough. I don't – maybe it'll happen someday, but in my heart, I don't want to see that. This is still college football. This is not the NFL. If you're not good enough to be in the top 4, sorry. okay? And maybe TCU gets left out. Maybe TCU's the best team in the country. I don't know. Nobody else can claim that. Ladies and gentlemen, you know who's one of the top three teams in the country? It's Michigan State. Their two losses are the two teams that are playing for the national championship in 10 days. Michigan State, that's why I liked them against Baylor. I think Baylor's outstanding. That was an outstanding football game. It stinks that Baylor had the big lead and couldn't finish, but it just shows how good both of those football teams were yesterday.
I agree with you totally about those two teams are definitely in the top 10. Both Baylor. Baylor didn't do anything wrong that game, and neither did Michigan State. Neither team really actually blew it. Michigan State had a big blocked field goal, but that is part of the game. It was a huge blocked field goal, you know, but it wasn't like Baylor was really stopping Michigan State.
And the Mississippi schools are what we thought they were.
Well, you know, and here's the other thing, too. When you have a chance to play for the national championship like Mississippi and Mississippi State did, and then all of a sudden, now you're not playing for it, both teams kind of fell apart. Once they weren't playing for the national championship, the only game they won is when they played each other. You know, after that one point, they did not look very good on the football field.
H is right about one thing, the attendance. You know what? I think if you're a sports fan now, just kind of pencil. You could go to these games. You can get a ticket to the Rose Bowl. It's not sold out. You can get a ticket to the Sugar Bowl, which probably was a little tougher because Alabama wasn't that far away. Oregon to Pasadena is still, you got to make a little bit of a trip. But they'll rotate next year. It's tough to get to the Orange Bowl. But if you wanted to go to the Orange Bowl, you're going to be able to get a ticket. And, God, who wouldn't want to go to the Fiesta Bowl? How could you mess that up? I mean, the Super Bowl will be this year, and so next year, just get right on in there and see what's going on. Cotton Bowl. Heck, the Cotton Bowl's at Jerry World. I mean, there's a lot of places you can go warm, take a few days off, and not worry about paying that astronomical fee for a ticket, and you can go to the game.
You know,
my cousin went to the Rose Bowl. You know,
is that right?
Wasn't like it was a big deal.
I don't know about the attendance. I'm not even going to make a really good comment about the attendance. I do know this, though, that, you know, there are a lot of games going on. There's a lot of people that are going to football games. But, you know, when you have 100,000 or 80,000, you know, seat arena, you know, it's not that hard to get a ticket. And when you go to an NCAA basketball game, and there might only be 15,000 tickets there, and everybody wants to go to it, it's harder to get a ticket. So I think the attendance, I didn't think it was pathetic, but it was about what I expected. Watch these NFL games. I'll bet you these NFL games, they're not going to be sold out completely on these. Some of these. Go ahead.
Our buddy Big Game James says, speaking of the Ohio State quarterback, I would have blasted his ass 22 years ago.
Big James said that?
Hey, he must have thought he was pretty good, huh?
Well, I'll tell you what, Big James, 22 years ago, you weren't as big as you are now. Maybe now you could. I don't know if you could catch him now.
Rick fires in. He says, the overs easily in this football game. He says, Oregon 56, Ohio State 38. So Rick fires that
well,
up. First prediction.
Hey, Rick, I really agree with him on the overs. I just think the overs, I mean, defensively, people are not. About the only time it ever goes under if somebody gets up 28-0 and starts sitting on it, and the other team can't move the ball at all. But, boy, I'll tell you what, to me, there's just a lot of these college football games, man, if you take over, and you're going to be a lot better off than if you try to play the unders.
Hey, we were talking, and again, we'll give you some time here. We're going to have Dirk Chatland, Matt Coatney join us in our next couple of segments. But first day of 2015, we chatted a little bit on Wednesday about some of the sports stories in 2014. What did you think? What sticks out to you from this last sports year, whether it's local, state, national? Nate fired off to us. How about the records broke by Amir Abdullah and Kenny Bell this year? Impressive. I did want to comment on that, Nate. Yes, Amir Abdullah, and we have lauded him maybe earlier or as much as anybody else has. He's what you want in every college athlete is Amir Abdullah. I think that's maybe one of the best ways to put it. For Kenny Bell, his records that he broke this year were career records, and so were some of Amir's. But Kenny didn't really have a blowout year. He had a couple of really good games and a couple of really nice catches. And just when you left him for dead, all of a sudden here he'd come again. And two of the best, though. You're right. There's no doubt about it. They hold the best records for running back and wide receiver in some, not all, but some categories.
You know, and one thing about the running, people have ran the ball for a long time, you know, but passing the football, just in Nebraska history, you know, since 2000, those records are easier broken than they were before that. Johnny Rogers, what he did in 1970, 71 was absolutely amazing, because that's before people were actually throwing the ball that much. And boy, you know, what he did, his punt returns, things like that, was before the offense was going wild. That's when people were scoring 35 points, and that was a ton of points. Now they're scoring 60. You know, so you're going to have more touchdowns, you're going to have more yards, and especially throwing the football. It's just amazing. Look at the quarterbacks, how many yards they're throwing for. They're breaking records about every time you have a bowl game, there's somebody breaking a record.
Here at the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, Doug Duda, Jim Langan. We'll be joined by Dirk Chatlin of the Omaha World Herald, and then Matt Coatney, voice of the Husker women. It's coming up next here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares. OneRocky.com.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options, but which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Sunny to partly cloudy skies develop today as we climb in the upper 20s. Winds will also stay to the west from 5 to 10. Tonight, with partly cloudy skies, we'll head down to 11 for a low. From the Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Right now, it's 19.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Let's talk a little Husker football, Big Ten football, brought to you by T&L Irrigation Systems, proven technology that's easier on you for a lifetime. Doug Duda, Jim Langan, and Dirk Chatlin, Omaha World Herald. Ring it in 2015. Happy New Year, Dirk.
Happy New Year to you.
Great to have you in. Did Christmas go well for the new dad and youngster and the new year? Everything's going well?
Yeah, it was great. The only regret I have is that my son, who is 4 years old, was my wife had the brilliant idea to buy him a drum set, and that's just not a very good present for a 4 year old. So we're still adjusting to the increased volume in the house.
Same thing. I did. I brought that up to my nephew, I think, when he was like 3 or 4. And the stare down that I got from my sister was immense. And, and of course, that was the one thing he hung on to for like 3 weeks. That's what I want. That's what I want. So,
yeah, you know, it's the same way in our house. Our son did his little Christmas list or whatever in November or something like that. And this was like number one on the list. And my wife was her philosophy was you can't deprive him of the number one thing on his list. And my response was, are you sure about this? I had a drum set when I was a kid, and I don't remember my mom being very happy about it. So.
Dirk's just got a lot more things to cover outside the house here recently than...
Exactly.
Well, Dirk, obviously, and check out the Mad Chatter. The new one's up today on Omaha.com. Always a really good... It's got a mixture of heavy stuff, lighthearted stuff for the most part on things to look at. And what a day for the Big Ten yesterday. Of course, we don't want to overblow it, but with all 10 Big Ten teams being underdogs, so far, they've shown pretty well.
Boy, you don't want to overblow it, but I think you can overblow this one because what happened yesterday was I think the most, you know, the most pivotal day for the conference since Ohio State won a national championship 12 years ago and maybe longer than that. Certainly longer than Nebraska's been in the league. It was a revolutionary day. I mean, it was, Michigan State beating Baylor and Wisconsin beating Auburn. And then the way that Ohio State, sort of took apart Alabama in the last three quarters of that game. It was a game changer for the Big Ten. I think the Harbaugh thing was big news at the start of the week, but this is, the way that things went down yesterday, people are going to be talking about this for a long time. And it had the added advantage of, sort of breaking apart the SEC in the same day. So the SEC, the top five teams in the SEC West all get beat. I don't think you could draw it up much better if you're an advocate of the Big Ten Conference.
Yeah, Dirk, one thing, as you watch these games, you actually, people say, well, you can't compare scores. Well, yes, you can. And when you watch all the other teams get beat before the Alabama-Ohio State game, to me, they definitely looked at that and going, uh-oh, these 10 points are way too many, and Ohio State can play with this team.
Yeah, it's a good point. And I was listening to the news conferences, last night after the game at 12:30 in the morning. And one thing that Urban Meyer said that I thought was really interesting and made reference to it on Twitter last night was, he made sure that his team knew that Wisconsin had beaten Auburn and that Michigan State had beaten Baylor because he understood the psychological ramifications for his team. Of knowing that the Big Ten was having a good day, and specifically, I think that Wisconsin result was really probably an eye opener because Auburn is Alabama's big rival, and Ohio State obviously had just beaten Wisconsin by 50-60 points. So it was I think Ohio State was in the right mindset to play that game last night, and I don't think you take that for granted when you face Alabama because their status is such that they kind of beat people before they even walk on the field.
Talking with Dirk Chatlett, Omaha World Herald, here on the Doug and Daddy Show on this first show of 2015. Immediate kind of gut thoughts of the national championship game. I said, boy, I still would like to see Florida State and Oregon play with no turnovers, and I know you can't do that, but, Oregon gets 5 turnovers, and everybody thinks that they're the greatest thing since sliced bread. I think Ohio State's got every shot in the world here.
Yeah, I think you make a great point. You don't dismiss the turnovers. I mean, Oregon obviously created some of those turnovers, but nothing in the Rose Bowl yesterday suggested to me that Ohio State can't play with them or that even – I have a ton of respect for Oregon, but I didn't think Oregon, looked like 40 points better than Florida State. I mean, there's the circumstances of the game got away from them, and Oregon was clearly better, but they're not 40 points better. And if Ohio State can go down to New Orleans and beat Alabama, they can certainly go you know, down to Dallas and beat Oregon. So I think it's going to be a pretty even game. You know, it's just fascinating to watch Cardale Jones, you know, at Ohio State, who basically didn't take any snaps all year. And, you know, he beats Alabama last night, and next week he'll square off against Marcus Mariota in Oregon. I mean, it's just the rise of this young guy is pretty incredible. And I think, you know, the way Ohio State's playing, I wouldn't be a bit surprised. I think a 7-point betting line, which is what it opened at apparently, I think that's a little bit high.
Yeah, you know, when I was looking at it too, is if the one thing is Ohio State, they had trouble with Indiana. Their defense hasn't been perfect, but right now they're outscoring people. And after they beat Wisconsin 59-0, I think you got to look at Ohio State, and they are a whole different deal. When you look at the top three teams, you look at the top three teams in the league, but you take Wisconsin, Michigan State, and Ohio State, you can put them up against anybody else. I think Baylor, TCU, and Kansas State are good, but I don't think they're any better than those three. And Oregon, UCLA, USC, whoever you pick on that side. But the Southeastern Conference, I think, has got to say, hey, we're fourth. You know, I mean,
well,
these other three are better.
Ohio State was hard to figure this year. I wouldn't have had any problem had they been left out of the playoff because, you know, it wasn't just the Virginia Tech loss. I mean, they, as you noted, they didn't look very good against Indiana. They almost lost at Penn State. They had, you know, they had some rough days. I mean, they just didn't look very good. Even in October and November, there were some weeks where they didn't play well. Whereas, you know, TCU, for instance, I thought was more consistent, with the exception of maybe the Kansas game. But, you know, Ohio State had its ups and downs. But what Ohio State did have, and they showed it again last night, when they're playing well, their ceiling is incredibly high. I mean, they have a ton of talent. They have a ton of young talent. You know, I think it's guys that almost seem to get better during a game as they get confident. And you know, Urban Meyer is a master motivator. I mean, he there's nobody in the game that's better than him at pushing the right buttons. But I think he's got a phenomenal staff. It was really impressive the way that last night played out, and I think Ohio State has the highest ceiling of any team in the country, and that includes Oregon.
Talking with Dirk Chatlow, the Omaha World Herald, here on the Doug and Daddy Show. A lot of coaching changes, and not just at Nebraska. Some coaching, some weird things going on in the Big Ten. Some things that on the surface people think will bring us more attention to the Big Ten Conference. You've also got assistants moving on. You got Meyer at Ohio State. You got Narduzzi at Michigan State. Dirk, how do you think this is going to shake things up in the next couple of years?
You know, it really is an exciting time to be part of this conference. I mean, I've been grumbling about it the last 4 years. You know, that this is not the Big Ten that Nebraska signed up for. You know, you add Rutgers and Maryland, you switch up the divisions. You're only seeing Ohio State and Michigan, you know, once every 5 years. I was pretty outspoken that Nebraska was, you know, was better off, at least from a football standpoint, not necessarily from a financial standpoint or an athletic department standpoint, but from a football standpoint, I felt like Nebraska was better off in the Big 12. That may be changing. I think that, you know, the Big Ten East is going to be overwhelmingly better than the West. You know, Mark D'Antonio can really coach, and James Franklin can really recruit. I think the four programs that get the most attention in the conference, at least next year, are all going to be Big Ten East programs. But, you know, I think Nebraska stands to gain eventually, if not immediately, from the Big Ten's increased strength. And if Nebraska can sort of work on their own operation, and it may take them a year or two, but if they can get to where their program hasn't been since 1999, 2000, 2001, they're clearly going to be in a position to compete, you know, for Big Ten championships. And, you know, I kind of like the idea of the bar going a little bit higher. I think Nebraska has played the better part of the last 10 to 15 years, where it didn't feel like there was a whole lot of competition, especially inside the division. And I think maybe having those other guys on the other side will fire up you know, Mike Riley's program to realize how good they need to be to compete.
What do you think about the whole Scott Frost deal? I mean, now I was thinking about this last night. It's hard, and they're going to go get these assistant coaches because Meyer proved it. But, you know, if Oregon wins the national championship, Frost goes up even higher in his stock, and there may not be a job out there for him to go get, which just kind of seems a little weird to me.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? I mean, we probably haven't seen the last job opening. I mean, strange things happen, and there's, you know, the NFL may grab somebody. Who knows? But I agree. It's Scott Frost is, it's kind of hard to see where he goes at this point as a head coach, at least in this cycle. I think he's more likely to jump next year, but you're trying to do that after your Heisman Trophy quarterback leaves. I think that's, you know, Oregon's set up to take a little bit of a step back next year. So I agree. I think the Frost situation is really interesting to watch because he could be one of the hottest names in college football here in about 10, 12 days. And he might not have a head coaching job that really suits him. So, it's always going to bother Nebraska fans that he isn't here, either as a offensive coordinator or as in some people's minds as a head coach. I think he will eventually coach at Nebraska, whether it's 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now. I'll be really surprised in a similar way that Jim Harbaugh returned to Michigan. I'll be surprised if Scott Frost doesn't one day return to Nebraska. But right now, I think he's doing pretty well out on the West Coast.
And I misspoke. Tom Herman's the assistant coach at, not Meyer. Every once in a while, you throw out a name of a guy you know. Jimmy, go ahead.
You know, I was going to ask you this because I'm probably in the 10% that like Tommy Armstrong pretty well. And I thought his effort against USC in a losing cause, because a lot of quarterbacks this week were on the losing end of these games. And I thought he gave us – he only threw one interception. He did everything he could to try to help us win that football game. Didn't do anything to put us in a horrible position, unlike a lot of other quarterbacks that played yesterday. Your thoughts on that? And I thought Petty from Baylor also had a tremendous game in a losing effort. I didn't think he did anything wrong to cost Baylor their chances to win. But other than those two, I thought those two did the best job in a losing effort. Your thoughts?
Well, I agree with you that Tommy Armstrong is in a stronger position to be Nebraska's quarterback the next 2 years than some people think. Part of that is there's not an obvious alternative in the program right now. If Johnny Stanton was really pushing him, I think Stanton probably would have been second string this past year, probably would have gotten more snaps. So I think part of it is the alternative. Part of it is Armstrong has some intangible qualities. He's had them from day one that have really inspired and excited people around him. He plays hard. He's a leader. He's a pretty good communicator. I think he's unselfish. You know, these are all things that set up a quarterback to be successful. The question, with Armstrong is does he have the skill set to excel in a Mike Riley pro style offense? And I'm sure Riley will mold that offense to fit whoever the quarterback is. But is Armstrong the guy that can make the plays, can make the throws specifically to get you in a one of these bowl games that we watched yesterday? And I think the jury's still out on that. I mean, I think he made some great plays in that USC game. I think he also made some throws that could have been intercepted that weren't. That would have put a damper on his day a little bit. So Nebraska has to, they've got to improve its quarterback position. But I wouldn't count out Tommy Armstrong. I think he's in. I think he's still the front runner for next year.
Last minute with Dirk Chatlin of the Omaha World Herald. Dirk, we got to revel. I can't believe it's been 20 years ago since Corey Schlesinger put the football on his helmet, but that's what it was. And how close? Give us the January 2nd. We're going to do our Big Red Roundtable on Monday, but give us your January 2nd preview of what Nebraska has, because something on that schedule is something they haven't had in a while. They will start with three teams that made bowls, and I know that's not as big a deal anymore, but there's no McNeese State, which shouldn't even be a knock on them, but Miami losing Duke Johnson might be some of the better news. BYU, South Alabama, Miami, new coach, new system maybe. Just how's this baby going to play out?
Well, you know, one of the small factors in the Pelini decisions, either to retain him or to fire him, I thought was next September in this relatively difficult start to the season. You know, I thought that if you brought Bo back and people were kind of divided on him and on his direction with the program, and you go out and you lose to BYU in the opener, you know, all of a sudden it's full scale panic, you know, around the state. And then you go down to Miami 2 weeks later, and maybe you lose that one, and you're 1-2. And at that point, you know, you might as well just put a for sale sign, you know, whatever. But I think you touch on a good point that the BYU game is really kind of looming over the 2015 season, and it looms over sort of the start of the Mike Riley era, because they're really going to have to get up to speed fast if they're gonna get through September next year unscathed, or even if they're gonna get through 2-1. I think, you know, Nebraska hasn't lost a season opener since what, 1985, and you know, I think it'll be an accomplishment if they can beat BYU in that opener with a new staff and a new offense and everything. It's gonna be a challenge. I think you know, the home schedule sets up pretty well for Nebraska. They get Wisconsin at home, they get Northwestern, Michigan State, and Iowa all at home. If they can turn into a, you know, to a really good home team, they've got a chance to put together a nice season. But they've got to get through September, because BYU and Miami are not going to be a picnic.
Dirk, always appreciate the time on the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll let you get back to 2015, and always enjoy the articles. We'll chat again soon.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Take care. Dirk Chatlin, Omaha World Herald. Check out all his work, including Mad Chatter at omaha.com, and catch him as well on The Bottom Line, which airs with Michael Severe 2 to 6 on omaha.com. That's our TNL Husker Talk, brought to you by TNL Irrigation Systems, proven technology that's easier on you for a lifetime. Schedule your annual preventative maintenance program today to assure many more years of reliable irrigation. Coming up, Matt Coatney is going to join us, voice of the Nebraska women's basketball team. They are the defending conference champs. Can they shake off that first game loss? How healthy are they? We'll talk about it next.
I'm a business owner, and we called Kearney Crete & Block when we needed a new and inviting-looking driveway.
We called Kearney Crete & Block when we decided to do a fire pit and patio. You should be calling Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
You'll have fun. You make it Funner Park.
Make it Funner's Finish Line Restaurant and Sports Lounge for fantastic food and action entertainment. Watch and wager on nationwide thoroughbred racing starting at 11:20. Play live draw keno. Watch bowl games on big screens. Enjoy game time snacks and drink specials, plus full menu dining. So race to the finish line, number one for food and fun.
Hi, it's Bo Huffman from your Kearney, Hastings, and Grand Island GNCs. That's General Nutrition Center for those of you not familiar. GNC has been the health and nutrition leader for over 75 years and continues to provide the highest quality and variety of nutritional products for any and all health needs and concerns. From acne to wrinkles and everything in between, we have the right option for your best health. Live well is our motto, and we strive to help you live well every day at the Hastings GNC just north of Walmart, in the Conestoga Mall in Grand Island, and the Hilltop Mall in Kearney. GNC.
We're not living in some perfect TV land, the kind where the sun's always shining and life's what-ifs just don't exist. Here in Nebraska, we live in reality. We have unpredictable weather and risky moments that mean you need insurance protection you can trust. At Battle Creek Insurance Company, we protect you with flexible policies for home, auto, farm, and multi-peril crop insurance. Hometown service for all of life's what-ifs. Contact your local independent agent and ask about Battle Creek Mutual Insurance. Better together.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS.
As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
Doug and Daddy's show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Time for our Midtown Mart Cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Boy, this was very evenly split over the last couple of days. We asked which lower-seeded team has the best chance to pull the upset in their wild card game. Ravens-Lions, you Dallas Cowboy haters, they tied for first. Bengals-Cardinals right behind them, 27%, 22%. It was all split up, so there you go. I think we took Cincinnati.
We took Arizona. I think we did.
Arizona over Carolina.
I think we did.
There you go.
Yeah.
How many teams do you think should be in the college football playoff? 4, 8, 16, or other? That's our Midtown Mark Cooler question today. Go to ESPNSuperstation.com and cast your vote. ESPNSuperstation.com. How many teams should be in the college football playoff? I said at the top show, I'm good with 4 for now.
Yeah.
Some major changes would have to come to your regular season.
What would happen? You'd have to play a game about December 15th, right after your finals. The NCAA, you know, in the finals and for college classes, you'd have to play one about the 15th. And then you'd have to give those people about 3 weeks off. And then you could play January 1st, you know, whenever that hits in that area. Mm-hmm. I'd play that December 15th game. I'd play that on a Saturday, of course. So whenever that Saturday pulled in there. But you'd have to give some people some time off. And then those final two teams are going to be playing. But look at Ohio State already. Ohio State's in an 11 games. They've lost 3 quarterbacks. You know, now they're going to be playing 14
And we're
games.
Just talking quarterbacks.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Matt Cotney is the voice of the Nebraska women's basketball team. We love him, and we're glad to have him here on the program. You can hear the game with Maryland tomorrow on The Breeze, 94.5 FM, tipping off at 3 o'clock. And, Matt, I have to admit, as I was driving back last Monday from our holiday tournament games, I'm listening to you and Jeff, and everything's just going almost too well. And then I get back to work, unload, get back in, and then something happened. Matt, how are you, buddy? Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year to everybody. You know, the Minnesota radio crew thinks I'm a soothsayer because before the game I said, our margin of error is razor thin. I said, if one of our starters gets a bowel trouble with as many people that are hurt and we're out with the stomach flu, I said, this thing could just turn immediately. And unfortunately, that's what happened. 17-point lead with 10 minutes, 41 seconds to go. Then Haley Sample picked up her third foul. Then she got fouls number 4 and 5 very quickly. And boom, it was tough to watch. But, you know, and then Connie Yorey gets on the bus and finds out the top recruit in the history of the state ever, Jess Shepherd, tore an ACL that night. So it was one of the toughest, about an hour and a half time frames I've ever seen since Connie Yorey's been here in Nebraska. But, you know, it's only one game out of 18 and move forward, and it doesn't get any easier this Saturday.
I think we've seen some good light shine, and since you brought up Jess Shepherd, I was going to get to that a little bit later on, but let's do it right now because she has been positive on her Twitter account. Again, things might change as the season moves along, and you have to go through the surgery and the rehab and all of that. But from the Nebraska standpoint, it would look like she would be able to be there, but just not a lot in the off season or this summer.
Well, I think it's really unfortunate for her because there were a lot of things she was going to possibly do with Team USA this summer, which is experience that you just absolutely will never get back. Also, they're going to have to be a little bit more careful with her in terms of her rehab, in terms of what the strength coach would usually do in the off season, and then Nebraska, once every 4 years, you can take your team overseas, and Connie Yorey had planned on taking your team, and it is going to take the team to Australia to play some of the Australian club teams. So, and Jess either can't participate in that, or depending on how far along she is, will be limited. And, you know, that really helped out this current group of seniors when they went to the Netherlands back in their freshman year. You think about that group of Emily, Katie, T. Loudermill, Brandy Jeffrey, and then Haley Sample got to play 6 games together. And you take a look at it, Emily, Katie, and Haley Sample have started every game of their career. can't overlook how invaluable that was for this team. And I think Jess Shepherd was going to be part of a group that was able to get, you know, a 4-6 game jump by going to Australia this summer. Hopefully she'll be recovered enough that she can at least participate in some of that trip.
Yeah, and you know, one thing too is she got to. I know it's no consolation, but she did get to play 8 or 9 high school games. There are plenty of athletes that are tremendous athletes that get hurt their senior year in high school, and it's not like college where you can get a red shirt or a medical red shirt. I mean, you're done in high school. I mean, there's been numerous athletes that have been tremendous that never got to play at all. So at least she got to participate some, and she's had some other things she got to do this summer, and, you know, she's going to go on. Her college career is going to be great. So, you know, I feel really bad for her, and I feel bad for all the players that have been hurt their senior year.
Yeah, and she's a great kid also. And there's probably not a better ambassador for the Nebraska women's basketball team for someone who's never put the uniform on. I mean, she has helped recruit kids who want to play with Jess Shepherd. And, you know, she's just a tremendous young lady. It's a great family. I feel sorry for her. But it's a very, very small bump in the road when you take a look at it in the long view.
Matt Cotney joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on this Friday, the first show of 2015. So tell us about this Maryland ball club that comes in new to the Big Ten, of course. And this was one of the spots where we knew that the Maryland Rutgers, there wasn't a whole lot of pomp and circumstances in a lot of sports, but we knew Maryland would bring quality basketball.
Well, first of all, Maryland is one of the top programs in women's basketball, and that's all because of Brenda Freeze, their coach. She's been there now 16 years. Very familiar with the Big Ten. She was the coach of Minnesota in 2002 and recruited the team that eventually went to the Final Four. Brenda left there after 1 year because the coach before her had gotten to school in trouble with some recruiting violations. They were going to go on probation. She went to Maryland, won the national championship in 2006, went to the Final Four last year. Thank goodness Alyssa Thomas graduated. She's one of the top 5 players I've ever seen play against the Huskers when they played Nebraska as a non-conference team 2 years ago. But, boy, they are just loaded. You know, one of the things fans might want to look for is Rachel Terrio's best friend plays for Maryland, and Melina Howard, who's their starting 4 player. They played summer club ball together. They're both from Ohio. They're big on the inside. They've got some dynamic guards. Lauren Mincy and Lexi Brown are as good a backcourt as you're ever going to see. Shatori Walker Kimbrew is going to be a star in this game. She's just really figuring out now as a wing, and they're deep. So, you know, they're deep. They're loaded on the inside. Not the only weakness you could see, if there is a weakness, is sometimes Maryland struggles to shoot the outside shot. They went only 1 of 11 against Ohio State last week. But this is going to be arguably the toughest home game the rest of the year for Nebraska.
Question for you about college basketball, women's college basketball. It seemed that we went through a stretch here where UConn, a Stanford, a Baylor dominated who was going to get to the Final Four. You know, unlike in the men's where you didn't know who the teams were going to be. Mm-hmm. Is the gap closed in NCAA women's basketball? Is that gap getting closer now? Are the teams that are ranked 6 through 11, are they making a closer gap to catch the top 4?
Yeah, and actually what I'm going to say is the way it's been in women's basketball for about the last 10 years is it's been UConn, and then every year 2 through 4 has kind of rotated between the Stanford, Tennessee, and Maryland, Duke, those types of teams. Now what I'm going to say is the top 3 are a lot closer, and then 4 through 15 are very, very close. The best thing that's happened to women's basketball is UConn getting out of the Big East and being in the American Athletic Association. Now, as long as Gino Auriemma is the coach there, I mean, they're going to be a dominant team. But, you know, they're not getting the conference money anymore. They're not getting the TV exposure. I think, you know, I've said, I as soon as Gino leaves, I firmly believe UConn's going to fall along the lines of Louisiana Tech in terms of women's basketball. A team that was great for so many years, then all of a sudden, boy, they just fall completely off the radar. I think as long as Gino is there, they're going to be the team to look at. But Tennessee has taken a step back since Pat Summitt resigned and retired. Stanford's taken a step back largely because of Cal. Cal has become a very good team Stanford used to just run through the Pac-12 with maybe one or two losses. Now Washington State, UCLA, Oregon State's very good. So, I think it really is. But really, you know, the top couple of teams, it starts with UConn, and they're not as dominant as they were, but they still are the best team in basketball, and I don't really see that changing this year.
A couple of minutes left here with Matt Cotney, voice of the Husker women. You're working with Jeff every day. How close is this deal to the home-and-home with Connecticut being done? Coach Auriemma saying a couple of weeks ago that it was almost done.
I would be shocked if it didn't happen. You know, they've been talking about it here for a while, and I think that the real reason is because of Jess Shepherd. I think that Connie really thinks that she owes it to Jeff to play Jess to play the elite competition. Jess has played for Coach Auriemma. And then the best thing that happened was UConn coming here for the regional last year. Gino actually told Jeff Greach, who was the moderator in one of the press conferences, hey, I want to come back here and play you guys. This is great. So it's as close to a done deal without the ink being, you know, on a piece of paper. I really think that you're going to see this happen. Nebraska going to UConn next year, and then Jess Shepherd's sophomore year, UConn coming here to the Pinnacle Bank Arena, which would just be a tremendous, tremendous game here in Lincoln.
Matt, forgive my ignorance. Has the women have never totally sold out a game, have they?
Oh, many times. Not at Pinnacle Bank Arena. At the Vanny Center, it happened several times. Not at the Pinnacle Bank Arena. They've got over 10,000 for the UCLA game, which was the first game, though.
And then health of this basketball team, how different will they look tomorrow?
You know, it's going to be something I'll find out tomorrow. I heard the stomach flu was the big problem against Minnesota, and that's still kind of working its way through the team. I heard at least one of the players who wasn't sick in Minnesota was sick yesterday, so hopefully they'll have time to recover. The boot squad, you've got four players out with boots. Hopefully Natalie Romeo, who could have returned against Minnesota, hopefully she'll be back tomorrow. But she got sick also. They just didn't even make the trip. Hopefully Anya Kalenta comes back very soon. I think she's probably not going to be available tomorrow. If Esther Ramacheri comes back, because she's been the first guard off the bench, and the Huskers can have at least somewhat of a rotation, even though it's nowhere near what Connie Urie wanted. But we'll just have to see tomorrow. That stomach flu has been affecting other teams. Michigan State had several people out when they lost at home to Northwestern earlier this week. So I think it's going to be a game-time thing to see who's healthy.
And, Matt, this is huge. Nebraska gets chosen as one of the two teams to play the Big Ten's feature game on CBS. These don't come around every single day. So they've got Maryland, then they've got to go on the road for two, then they come home with Penn State. This is a very tough stretch. And just talk about the stretch and the national TV exposure, especially if it doesn't work out if they don't have a full complement of players.
Well, it is unfortunate, but, you know, Nebraska's really got a great reputation nationwide in terms of everything that the one feature game you get on CBS a year. Traditionally in the top 15, traditionally an NCAA tournament team, traditionally with a great crowd, which looks great on TV, traditionally strong when they play a top team. In fact, I'm very good friends with a lot of the people who are going to be here for CBS, and the relationships are very strong there. And then, you know, you said it, Nebraska's got to go to a Michigan State team that's going to be badly in need of a win after they had some sick kids last week. They want to get a win, and Nebraska knocked them off twice last year in big games that hurt Michigan State. And then going to Illinois thinks there's something this year. They've got a win over Kentucky. They've got Shatrice White for Shelby, and she's had a really good start to her season. So, the first four games for Nebraska are just amazing. But right now, the Big Ten's the number one RPI conference. And really, the only layup, right now might be Penn State. And it's hard to say as good as they've been, but they just really have lost a lot of people, and their season has started off terribly.
Well, Matt, we'll be listening for the call tomorrow. Always appreciate catching up with you. And, hey, have a great new year, and let's get some wins for these women.
Hey, happy new year to you guys, and as always, thanks for you guys being such a great affiliate. We appreciate it.
Take care, Matt. Happy new year. Matt Cotney, voice of the Husker women. 3 o'clock, the tip tomorrow on The Breeze, 94.5 FM. Coming up, it's a big game, Jimmy. It's a big game. The thing I like about it, Husker fans gravitate to anything that has any kind of importance to it. So probably a pretty darn good attendance tomorrow as well.
I would think so, yeah. What time do you say that game is? 3 o'clock?
3 o'clock. Miles.
And it's on Nashville. That's got to be great for your recruiting, too, I would think.
We're going to throw this out, ladies and gentlemen. It's time for our Fanatics Fantastic Friday Trivia. It's our first trivia question of 2015. There's some rules. Did we change any rules in 2015? Nope. So if you haven't won in 3 months, one person per household, we like to rotate it around for the trivia, for the Fanatics trivia, just the trivia. Once every 3 months, someone in your household could win. 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. Here's the trivia question. I think it's pretty easy. But we just talked women's basketball. Let's give the women's basketball fans a chance. I want you to tell me two of the top five all-time leading scorers in Nebraska women's basketball history. Two of the top five all-time leading scorers in Nebraska women's basketball history. First one to do so gets the $25 gift card to Fanatics, and we'll be right back.
Kelly Tucker has worked at Anderson Brothers for over 30 years. He encouraged his kids to check out college and something else.
Come see us. We'll train you. That's what we've been good at doing. I've always said that Anderson Brothers is more like a college, and that's why I call it Anderson Brothers College, because we do train a lot of people, and they can take that anywhere they go. And there's good wages. There really are. You got to work for it, but there's good wages.
Check out the career options at Anderson Brothers Electric, Plumbing, and Heating in Kearney and Holdridge.
Where you're a neighbor, not a number, we're Custom Pack.
This week, a custom pack of Hastings get USDA Select Boneless Beef Rib Roast, only $7.89 a pound. Fully cooked hickory smoked salmon, only $8.98 a pound. And Cedar Hollow 6 to 7 pound boneless half hams, only $3.47 a pound. It's all at Custom Pack 601 West J.
At Custom Pack, you're a neighbor, not a number.
Hey, Nebraska, Jeff here from Big O Tires to announce our year-end tire clearance sale. Through January 10th, save 5% on all major brand tires or up to 15% on all Big O brand tires and 20% on all snow tires. Plus, with any four tires, you'll get your choice of a half-price alignment or a free oil change. At Big O Tires, we're all about low prices and great value. And during our year-end clearance sale, that's just what you'll get. Tire service straight talk. We are Big O Tires, the team you trust.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
When weather happens, you can check closings, cancellations, and delays at ESPNSuperstation.com. Click on the Lampman Seamless Spray-On Roofing weather threat icon on the front page for a sortable list. There's even a sign-up form and app, so you can post qualifying information as well. And for an energy-efficient, attractive spray-on foam roof, call Lampman Roofing for an estimate. Find them on Facebook and at LampmanRoofing.com.
The Tech Slayer Bowl on ESPN Radio. Tennessee and Iowa traveling in opposite directions as they head into bowl season. The Vols won three of their final four, while Iowa lost three of their final four.
Back in the pocket, stay. Show, congratulations to Mark from Holdridge. He is our Fanatics Fabulous Fantastic Friday Trivia winner. The first, congratulations, Mark. You're the first winner of 2015 on the Doug and Daddy Show. Jimmy was a winner yesterday. That's a personal thing. 2015 marks the first winner. We asked you two of Nebraska's all-time leading scorers, top five, two of the top five. Jimmy, you said Amy Stevens. Is she still in there? Yes, she's number five. Former Loper coach, current assistant coach for the Huskers. Kelsey Griffin is fourth. Mortise Ivy third. Jordan Hooper graduated last year, second. And the all-time leading scorer, still Karen Jennings. About 58 points was all she was ahead of Jordan Hooper. So great job there. And don't forget, Fanatics is your sports bar dedicated to bringing you the game, great food, and good times. If the game's on, the game's on. Dedicated to keeping the games on until they're all over, so you don't have to worry about them turning off the game you want to watch just because it's getting later at night. Double the size of Fanatics with their bullpen, outdoor beer garden. Even when it's sliced like this, it seems like it's 60 degrees outside. Stop by, enjoy a custom handcrafted pizza, wide variety of appetizers, and of course, Fanatics is your wing destination. on the bricks in downtown Kearney. So congratulations to Mark. A couple of other sports notes. Let's see. What happened yesterday, Jimmy? I always like to give you a little bit of a thought. Anything that you wanted to hit on that we haven't hit on here before we wrap it up? Well,
I just thought there was a couple things that were kind of interesting in the college football. I thought the onside kick that the guy caught in the Ohio State game, what a tremendous play. Alabama kicked that onside kick, and how high he went in the air.
And he even got it tipped, and it's still, I think he had stick'em.
Yeah, it's a bait. You know, and you think of plays, you know, there's so many plays in a game. You know, the Michigan State blocked field goal. You know, I mean, there were so many just a play. You know, you play 100 snaps, and, hey, it comes down to maybe somebody just making a tremendous play on recovering an onside kick or, you know, that gets down to the game, and then it gets overlooked because you're supposed to recover those. You know, you're supposed to get those. So if you get them, that's what you're supposed to do. But what a play he made to get that ball.
Well, you can tell there were some upsets and some people in the Doug and Daddy Bowl bonanza that didn't take the Big Ten. There were 8 games played since we last spoke, 3 on Wednesday and 5 yesterday. Our leader, Tammy, was 13-1. She's not the leader anymore. She went 2-6. 2-6. But the good news, Tammy, is you're still only 1 back. Greg has the lead at 16-6. So it's been some tough sledding. And then we've got a host of folks that are at 15-7. Carly, Eldon, Tammy, Merritt, Edward, they're all there setting at 15-7. We got 9 others with 14 wins, 10 with 13. So they're still with this national championship set up now. Still quite a few games. How many games are left, Jeff, on our total here? Did you put everything that was left? 6 games left, so a chance to make up some ground. And as far as our little contest, me, you, and Bushcutter, I have now finally went exactly where I belong. Right at the bottom, 18-14 for all the games. You and Randy are tied at 18-14. I'm 14-18. Just the games that are on the Bowl Bonanza contest. You have 12 right. Randy has 10. I have 9. I continue to stink.
I want to know how many people picked Jeff. How many people picked Ohio State and Oregon? Got that Quinella. Got the Quinella right. The two horses in the Daily Double. I want to know, out of just 4, how many people in the whole contest got those 2?
Oh, I think you, Jimmy, and then I think 1 or 2 others. I haven't gone and crunched all the numbers, but I did see more than 1.
Okay, it's okay. I knew that.
Not that many.
No, but I
took Ohio State, Florida State.
Yeah, you went. Yeah, you took Ohio State, Florida. That would have been. Yeah, that would have been.
I got 1 right.
That would have been a big payer. That was 20-1 odds. Did you know that, Doug? They're paying 20.
Hey, so what'd that pay?
Well, 9-1 is what it's paying.
Well, no, what's it paying?
What's that?
It didn't happen, so it's paying
Spadoosh. Okay, sorry.
That's usually what I do with my tickets, buddy. Yeah. Hey, Tri-City Storm Hockey is on the road tonight. They fell to Sioux Falls at Sioux Falls Wednesday, 3-1. Same teams play again tonight in Sioux Falls, and then the Storm return home tomorrow to face Omaha, 7:05 at the Viero Events Center. Hear it on the Breeze, 94.5 FM. The Nebraska wrestling team is competing in the Southern Scuffle, which is going on in Chattanooga, Tennessee. They were 4 points behind 4-time defending national champion Penn State entering the day, setting in 2nd place with 6 wrestlers in the quarterfinals. The Lopers will be at Midland tomorrow. Grand Island wrestling up at the Clash, one of the biggest tournaments in the Midwest. The National High School Duels going on today and tomorrow. There's a handful of basketball games. Adams Central's at the Bennington Holiday Tournament playing the host. Broken Bow and Boone Central are there. At the Pleasanton Post-Holiday Tournament, you may get to see a smiling Jimmy Langan running up and down the court there. Ravenna plays Bertrand, doubleheader at 2:30. Pleasanton and Arapaho at 6. Northwest Central Catholic have their get-together tonight with a handful of other games as well. And finally, the Nebraska Golf Association has announced their sites that will be hosting their major championships for the youth, for the seniors, and everything in between. The Kearney Country Club will host the junior match play for both the boys and girls. These are your high school kids and any age up to that. And the match play will be held at the Kearney Country Club June 3rd through the 5th. And one of the coolest things that I've seen for the really good golfers, they're going to get to the Nebraska match play, will be at the Prairie Club in Valentine. So I'm guessing they would get near record number of entries for that. So that's going to wrap things up on the Doug and Daddy Show Monday. Want to promote this, going to talk about it all weekend during the bowl games, during the NFL playoffs. And don't forget, every NFL playoff game, two tomorrow, two Sunday, all the way through the Super Bowl 49, right here on ESPN Radio. But on Monday, Tom Hamilton from the River City Hunting and Fishing Expo will join us. We talk about that every year. It goes on at the Mac Center at Council Bluffs. We'll be giving you a chance to win family four packs to go to that. But for the majority of the show, because he'll join us at the end, it's our annual Big Red Roundtable. We do one right before Big Ten Media Days, and then we do one once the season is wrapped up. Steve Sipple, Lincoln Journal star, Sean Callahan, Husker Online, Mike Babcock, Hail Varsity. First thing, about 10 after 11, about 10 minutes into the show on Monday, we'll recap Nebraska football, how the year went, the coaching change, what we'll be looking for in spring ball as well. I want to thank Dirk Chatlett of the Omaha World-Herald, Matt Coatney, voice of the Husker women, for joining us today. Jimmy, don't pull any hammies this weekend, okay?
I'll try not to.
See you Monday.
The following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.